glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
We're already in mid-month. It's the 15th of September. Welcome to Mark and Friends for this Thursday. My name is Tim Nelson, coming to you from the WLUJ Great News Media Studios, 600 West Mason in Springfield. People who achieve an extraordinary level of fame or reputation while they're still alive are often called a legend in their own time. Well, a friend who played professional baseball says he's met many people in the world of sports who were only a legend in their own mind. Pride has a way of distorting how we see ourselves, while humility offers more of a realistic perspective. Debbie Griffith from Everyday Matters is here today to share a good word with us in a moment.
It all comes down to this: what you require of me. Love my neighbor as myself. And you above all things, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God.
The writer of Proverbs said, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall," Proverbs 16, verse 18. And viewing ourselves in the mirror of self-importance reflects a distorted image. It's easy to look at ourselves in a way that's distorted, and seems the only way to look at ourselves more rightly is having God in our life with the Holy Spirit in us, helping us to see things more like He would want us to see. Debbie Griffith from Everyday Matters is our guest on today's Mark and Friends. Debbie, I know you want to talk about pride and what the Bible has to say about that. What has God put on your heart today?
Well, He always is reminding me that there's a God and I'm not Him. One of the things that I think that we all struggle with, but we can't always identify, is pride. And it's a difficult problem for us to deal with because it hides. I came across Obadiah 1:3, which Obadiah is only one chapter, but verse 3 is so interesting, and it says, "It deceives us and causes us to think we do not have it. It says, the pride of your heart has deceived you." So it hides in our thinking, in the deepest recesses of our mind. It will not admit that it is present because, you know, it's too proud to do so. I think about that my problem is, my biggest problem is me, myself, and I. And it's so easy to compare ourselves to others and have a self-righteous attitude. And that's really what pride is. But we know we shouldn't have it, so then we don't want to even identify it. And of course, the enemy, Satan, wants our minds and attitudes to be filled with pride. And that kind of attitude of, I'm better than everyone else, can bring destruction in our lives. And so it's really about asking God to show us where it may be hiding in our lives so that we develop this humility and this humble attitude that He wants us to have. And I think that you and I, Tim, were talking, and I shared with you James 4:10. And that says that we are to humble ourselves before God, and He will lift us up. But because of our insecurities, we feel bad about ourselves. We look at others that maybe are doing it better, or we look at their outsides and compare it with our insides, our inside insecurity, and we get to this place of lifting ourselves up and trying to tell ourselves or others how well we're doing it, and everyone should be like us, so we feel better. But God says in His word in James 4:10 that we are to humble ourselves before Him, and He will lift us up. And He will. And Him lifting us up is so much better than anything that we could do to make ourselves feel better. It's God alone. We know this, but I think that pride is such a difficult thing as believers. I mean, we can always identify it in someone else, can't we? Pride wants to do all the talking and none of the listening, and we can see it in everyone else. But to look and take the mirror as you said, and see, wait, I have an issue with this.
Yeah, it's hard to detect in ourselves. I think it must take God's conviction through His Holy Spirit or someone else like our spouse or a close friend to say, hey, you know what, Tim, you're not thinking about this right. You're prideful. I think it's just so easy to live in pride and not even realize it.
Absolutely. You know, if someone else tells me, Debbie, you have a spirit of pride, immediately I'm not going to really receive it. It's more like me to say, look at yourself. You know, I think of Matthew 7:5 that says, take the plank out of your own eye and then you're going to see better to remove the speck from my eye. My own judgmental, prideful spirit would say, oh, no, you didn't. You know, like, don't be telling me. My suggestion, if you do see this in someone and you seriously care, let them know maybe that you have struggled with pride. And that's maybe a better way to approach someone to say, you know, I'm sharing with you, like, I struggle with this. And I didn't think I had an issue with pride, but I realized that it's so easy and so fun almost to be judgmental of others. And when I really stopped to ask God, show me the pride in my heart, let me know how to walk forward in freedom. And I share my experience with dealing with my own pride with someone else who I think maybe has an issue with it. I think that's a better route to go than just coming out, you know, guns blazing with someone, because that's the whole problem. The person that has the pride issue, isn't really going to receive, especially if they're a Christian who is doing a lot of the things right and doing well and successful in ministry, perhaps, but you see that this is a barrier in their life. I think a better approach is to share your own struggle with pride.
Humble and human, willing to bend you. Fashioned of flesh and fire of life, you are not too proud to wear our skin, to know this weary world we're in. Humble, humble Jesus.
Mark and friends, for this Thursday, September 15th, from Great News Media, with Debbie Griffith from Everyday Matters, our guest today. Here's something to think about. The antidote to the poison of arrogance is true humility that comes from God. The Bible says, better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud.
I have always struggled with admitting that I have pride. And I know that I'm not alone. But when I humble myself before God and come before Him and say, show me, He is gentle, He is loving. I think one of the things that is so helpful for people to know and recognize is that God is not mad at you. He may be heartbroken over our choices, but He loves us. And so when we come to Him, He is loving to point out where we have gone astray or fallen or things or areas in our life that need to just be purged out so we can be the best of who we can be and live a life that is purposeful and have that hope of eternity. So one of the places in the Bible, in Luke 18, we're very familiar as Christians, I think, with this particular story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee is the self-righteous, I'm better than everyone else. The tax collector would be the person that is in a place of humility, that is coming before God and recognizing their wretchedness. So Luke 18, beginning with verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand ostentatiously and began to pray thus before and with himself, oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, the robbers, the swindlers, you know, those unrighteous adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I gain. But the tax collector, he just stood there at a distance. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he kept striking his breast saying, oh God, be favorable, be gracious, merciful to me. I am an especially wicked sinner. And I tell you, it says in verse 14, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his home justified, forgiven. He was in right standing with God rather than the other man, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.
My worth is not in what I hold, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in that flow at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in Him no other. My soul is satisfied in Him alone.
We fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty do revive, but life eternal calls to us at the cross.
There's nothing wrong with receiving accolades for achievement and success. The challenge is to stay focused on the one who calls us to follow him, saying, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." From Proverbs chapter 11, verse 29.
It is so comforting to know that he will give us rest when we humble ourselves, when we admit that we can't do everything and be everything, and it's not by our works, it's by his grace. Again, James 4:10 says that if we humble ourselves before God, and in some translations it reads, and in due time, he will lift us up. And I think what happens, I mean, I know this happens for me, is that we get impatient with God lifting us up. We think it should be sooner, especially when someone has hurt us or we see a Pharisee person in our life. And that Pharisee person, obviously, I've thought about, you know, that can be me, and so I have to get right with God. But there's other times where we see this self-righteousness in a religious person, and we want to point it out to them right away. But rather, God is saying, at the right time, I will lift you up, and I will vindicate you, and I will help you. That's a promise. All over in Romans chapter 12, it says that he will vindicate us. So when the Pharisee was in his monologue with himself, he was comparing himself to the tax collector and other, you know, swindlers, robbers, adulterers. And this Pharisee was basically saying, thank you, God, that I'm not like that. Thank you that I'm so holy. And that is just a really dangerous thing, you know, to have that kind of attitude. And even though I haven't ever said that, I know I've had an attitude of that. Because we look at other Christian friends who maybe aren't in the practice of spirituality the way we are, and we maybe go to more Bible studies or do this or that, or, you know, keep a journal and write down verses, memorize. When we stand before God, Tim, we're not going to give an account for anyone but ourselves. He won't say to us, you should have been more like this or that person, or I'm glad you were so much better than this or that person. We stand before God. We're accountable to him alone. Even though the Pharisees, they were good tithers, they gave 10% of everything, they would not miss giving their tithes, but they were really rotten to the core. And Jesus referred to them as a bunch of whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. I mean, that's Jesus calling them out. He had a problem with the Pharisees because they put on a good show, but they did not have good hearts. And we can read about that in Matthew 23. So God tells us to give a tithe of all our increase, but he does not tell us to presume that we know what others are doing. It's, again, look to him, look to who God says you are and what he calls you to do, because it's so easy to develop this attitude where we compare ourselves to others. We really need to guard our hearts against a self-righteous attitude and be like the tax collector in the parable, who trusted in the mercy of God and not himself or his own goodness.
Gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and the darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word that was all he had to say. And the one who had died just rose up straight. just an ordinary man. A gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town who follow him, they say. The gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way. The gentle healer is the truth.
Virginia from Lincoln, Illinois, James from Urbana, and Marcia from Rochester, thank you for your support of Great News Media. Hello to Wayne from New Holland. He says, I like David Jeremiah. My wife and I have seen many of the Gaither concerts, too. Really likes the Gaither songs as well as Gaither Homecoming Radio on the weekend on the stations. He says, I know my wife is in heaven with Jesus. Wayne, thank you for that letter. And thank you to Nellie from Decatur for dropping us a note that says, thank you for all the programs and music. God bless you and your staff. A couple places to go to get the contact information to drop us a note, greatnewsradio.org. or WLUJ.org. Click on the link, send us an email, or get the mailing address and all the phone numbers, everything you need right there. We would love to hear from you. I'm Tim Nelson. Mark and Pastor Jason will be here for the live studio audience broadcast of Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. tomorrow morning and the rebroadcast at 7:32 p.m. Illinois time on this Great News Media station. Thanks to Debbie Griffith for being our guest today. You can find out more about her ministry, Everyday Matters, online at debbiegriffith.com.